and may it always be true. Exodus chapter 20 at verse 16, do not testify falsely against your neighbor. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. We're on number 9 of the basic 10 commandments. I hope you have found the review this summer really, really helpful and a little bit convicting, because then we're in company together. We'll plan to finish this up 3 weeks from today. I was supposed to be on vacation the next 2 weeks, and then we sprung the whole plan and went off to Colorado to that reunion that kind of came up at the last minute. So we're not going out of town. I am going to take a few days off, but I had Pastor Tom all booked to preach for the next 2 weeks, and he loves doing that, and I thought that's a great idea, so we left the schedule just the way it is, and we'll look forward to hearing him, and I'm looking forward to being here with all of you and with him. And then we'll wrap this series up 3 weeks from today and go back into our satellite series. This whole matter of the basic 10, when you think about it, if we really mastered them, if we as followers of Jesus consistently practice the principles of the basic 10 commandments, the Church of Jesus Christ would be powerful, and marriages would be strong, and family relationships would be intact, and financial matters would be in place, and we would not only be happy, productive followers of Jesus, but we would have an even more powerful impact on the world. It's good to study the entire Bible, and it's all relevant, some parts more than others, but if you really need to summarize how we're supposed to live, the old basic 10 really is a great place to start, and I think it's been a helpful review. Today, all about honesty and integrity. There was a story a number of years ago about a little boy, obviously a boy, that would have a temper, right? Girls don't have tempers. And this little guy had a major temper, and it would kind of fly off multiple times throughout the day. And his parents became very frustrated with how to deal with that, because nothing seemed to work. And so as the story goes, as I have reviewed it again, and there's probably a lot of versions of it, Dad finally said to the little guy, tell you what, let's try a new approach. Every time you lose your temper, you go out to that beautiful gate that goes into the garden and take a hammer and a nail and drive a nail into that gate, partway in. Well, as the story goes, the first day, the little guy got to drive 37 nails. Must have been born with a short fuse like I was. I've worked my whole adult life trying to lengthen my fuse. And God and Carol have worked together on that project. But over time, the little guy made progress, and he was losing his temper less times, and there were less nails, and eventually the day came that he never lost his temper. And his dad said to him, you have done so well. You've made tremendous progress, and I just really commend you. Reaffirmed him. And he said, tell you what, son, from now on, every day that you can go through the day without losing your temper, you can go out there and pull one of those nails out of that gate until they're all gone. And the kid was challenged with that. And every day that he could maintain his composure, not lose his temper, he would go out there and pull a nail out of that gate. But you know the rest of the story, right? Because when all the nails were removed, there were scars all over that gate, because the holes remained for the life of the gate. And I think losing our temper or bearing false witness, messing with truth and hurting our integrity, is in the same category, probably an even worse, powerful, influential category than losing our temper. And some of us, as we were growing up, struggled with being honest. And some of us, as we get older, have not broken the habit completely. And all of us know from experience that when we're not truthful, even though we own up to it, we apologize, we're feeling forgiveness to the best of our ability, we forgive ourselves, there are scars that remain. truthful. The holes never completely heal this side of heaven. And I think that's really important to remember that, because actually, as I put a question in your notes, if one's integrity is compromised, how much of our life is affected? And I think the answer to that is all of our life is affected, and probably all those around us. And the wounds of lost integrity, the wounds that come when we are not consistently faithful and true and honest, those are very forgivable. And we can experience the cleansing of the blood of Christ and the forgiveness of the people that we offended, and to the best of our ability, even forgive ourselves. But those scars never completely go away. When trust is broken, it's really hard to repair. And a relationship between two or more people where trust has been broken, it can be repaired. And there's amazing stories where that takes place. But there's always a little bit of a memory in our background. And it's a good thing, because the scars often remind us of where we were and where we are, and motivate us not to do it again. I wear right there in the middle of my head a scar that goes back to when I was 4 years old. That's, you know, last century almost. And I was a wild four-year-old kid, and we had linoleum floors, and for whatever reason, late in the evening, bedtime, I'm sure I was supposed to be in bed by then, I went ripping through the old ranch house. I can still picture it in my mind. I slipped and went under the bed, iron bedstead, cut that. We lived many, many miles from nowhere, and no stitches were taken, patched the thing up, grew back, and I still wear that scar. And as I've gotten older, it's gotten a little more there. And you know, it's a good reminder to me of, one, you ought to be careful and not run through the house. I've kind of overcome that by now. Haven't done it recently, have I? Now I hobble through the house. And the other thing is, it's a reminder to me, with some other scars in my body, of God's protection and faithfulness. I've got a pretty good scar right here that reminds me of a plane crash in Alaska. And when I look at that in the mirror, I think, thank you, Lord. That was rescue. That was wonderful. So scars have a positive effect, in that they remind us of where we were and from where we have come and where we've progressed, but they also never completely heal back to normal. And I want us to think about that for a few minutes today as we talk about being honest with each other and never giving a bad statement about somebody else. A witness, don't testify falsely or have a false witness against your neighbor. A witness is somebody who's able to give first-hand account, and first-hand is very important, evidence or testimony about a person, activity, or event. Now, if we weren't there and saw it with our eyes and heard it with our ears so that we can honestly say, this is what happened, if our information came from someone else, then really we're not a true witness. You need to remember that. And as I was working through this, I thought, that's very interesting, because I want to be a witness for Jesus. And I want to be a truthful witness for Jesus. And I want to be an accurate witness for Jesus. But I'm not a first-hand witness. And I went from there and I looked over at 1 John. You remember 1 John when he was talking about his relationship with Jesus, 1 John 1:1, and he said, the one who existed from the beginning is the one we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is Jesus Christ, the Word of life. This one is life from God was shown to us, and we have seen him, and now we testify and announce to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and so forth. John was able to say and to write down, I saw him. I was with him. I have first-hand witness information. And the Spirit of God allowed him to write that down, and we have it in the record, and we have every reason to believe that the record is true. But John had something going when he talked about Jesus that I don't have going when I talk talk about Jesus because I didn't see him. I didn't walk with him. I wasn't there to be present when he did those miracles. I wasn't there to see him carry that rugged cross and hang on there and die. John saw it. And in some of the translations, it says, and we beheld him. It's like he says, we just sat down and gazed on him. So a witness really is not a true witness if we're not a first account present person. The reason I'm underscoring that is I think our world is full of information that's being promoted by people who are not first-hand witnesses. They're telling us what they heard or what somebody told them that they saw. And sometimes in ignorance and sometimes willfully, we are told things about someone else that are not true. This has been on my mind so much in preparation for this. And several times this past week, I was in conversation and I made a statement. We were talking about a restaurant. And I said, I think it got its name from, and I told my little story. And nobody else in the room knew that. And then I said, you know what? That may not be true, so don't quote me on that. And I have done research, and I have not verified my story. I've thought this thing for years, that that's where that restaurant got its name. And now I'm not sure. I think I'm going to drive over this week and find out. Not that far away. But it was a good reminder to me, don't tell somebody something that you're not absolutely sure of, because if you're wrong, you're passing on information that is not accurate. So a witness should be able to give first-hand account or be able to reflect a source that is absolutely trustworthy. Now, I don't need to tell anybody in this room that if our whole political world right now would practice this, it would be a lot cleaner thing going on, and we'd even enjoy watching the news again. A false witness, we're not to be a false witness, that's one who gives counterfeit information about a person, activity, or event. And obviously, the ultimate false witness is counterfeit God, Satan. Go back to the garden. God said, this is the way it is, Adam and Eve. Satan came along and said, God didn't mean that. That's not what he really said. You're hearing him wrong. Do it this way. That's the ultimate example of a false witness. And unfortunately, Adam and Eve bought into it. So we need to be very careful that an authority figure that maybe even we respect or we admire or has a lot of influence, when they give us information, we better be sure that they're getting it from a correct source. Now, don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Who in the world is our neighbor? The next door? Well, yeah, it'd be a person who lives next door. Might be somebody in the office adjacent to us in the next workplace over. Could be somebody in school. Could be somebody in recreation places. I think it's anybody close by. I looked up the word. I studied it for quite a while. I think it can be a relative, a friend. It could be an enemy that's close to us. It could be a non-acquaintance. And, of course, we know the famous story that Jesus told when the guy says, who is my neighbor? And he told that amazing story that his neighbor was somebody that he came across that needed help. And he didn't see the guy before, and he wouldn't have been a person he would normally interact with, but because he was in the road, in his path, in his life, he said, obviously, he was his neighbor. So I think the answer to don't bear false witness is to anybody. Neighbor is anybody. Anybody that would be influenced by us. I believe that would be the neighbor. It could be somebody as close as our wife or our family. It could be somebody as distant as someone that we'll never see again in our life, but somehow they've crossed our path, and at that moment they're our neighbor. So how does God really feel about this business of a false witness? I looked at just a very few of very many statements in the Bible, and these are listed in your notes, I think. God's attitude towards anyone that lies. Proverbs 6 at verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates. Now, the Lord never hates people, but he hates things that people do. And that's what these are. And then he says, actually, there's seven. I like it when Proverbs does that. It shows the humanness of the writer. He's writing along, and the Spirit of God is guiding him. And there's, there's six things. No, there's really seven. That is a miss up on the Holy Spirit's part. That's the human side of an author that God is guiding. There are six things, actually seven, that are detestable to the Lord. Haughty eyes, that would be arrogance. A lying tongue, that's somebody that just can't tell the truth. Hands that shed innocent blood, there's another one of the basic ten. A heart that devises wicked schemes. There's the old counterfeit God again, the ultimate of that, Satan. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. And finally, a false witness who pours out lies, and then a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. A false witness who pours out lies. Now, it's wrong to ever tell a lie, and it's wrong to live a life of just telling as many as you feel like and never thinking anything about it. But all of us, somewhere along the line, will find ourselves struggling with being completely honest. And I think what God is directing the psalm writer, or the Proverbs writer there to remind us, is that there are some people who just lie. And I won't be unkind and name certain professions, you know. Sometimes. Because it comes right back to guys who talk all the time. If their lips are moving, are they telling the truth? There's some people that just have a life focus that's on the edge and not quite true. And God loves those people, and He died to save them, and He hates what they're doing. But there's other people who just occasionally lie because it's convenient. Maybe it's from insecurity. Maybe it's from fear. All kinds of things cause us sometimes to stop and think, can I be absolutely honest in the way I respond? And I think the answer is, yes, we should. Now, I'm not talking about giving people information that they're not ready to hear. A little kid asks a question, and you don't dump the whole load of hay of life issues on them. You give them discreet responses. Somebody's not quite ready to hear that they have a terminal illness, and you don't just blurt it all out to them. You're gentle. I'm not talking about lack of common sense. But if we stop and think about it, it's really easy to not always be completely honest. For their spouse, for their kids, for their co-workers, with anybody. And probably by God's definition in commandment number 9, that's a false witness. It comes natural to little kids to do that for all the reasons of fear and insecurity and pride and whatever. But way too many adults live a life that when we're really honest, we say about them, you know, when they tell me something, I want to believe them, but I'm never quite sure that I can believe that that's really the way it is. And if somebody feels that way about us, we need to stop and evaluate how that has developed. What has gone on in our relationship that has caused them to question what we're saying? I am a terrible skeptic, and I deal with that as a sin continually. I can be so cynical that it's disgusting. I have to confess that often to God. I blame part of that on being old and experienced, but I blame most of it on being a sinner that's still learning to do life correctly. So when I listen to famous people speak, and some of us were at a wonderful seminar or summit the last 2 days, and we heard some amazing stories and motivating inspirational leadership principles. But I have to be honest with you, and I shared this with Carol. When I hear some of these far-out stories that just bring the house down with laughter and make a good point, there's something in the back of my mind way too often. I confess this, probably sin. There's something in the back of my mind that's saying, did that really happen? Or as my brother-in-law used to say, if it didn't happen that way, it should have. And I want to be very careful of that. I never want to tell you a story or give you an illustration that you would have any reason to say, really? I wonder if that really is the way it is. And I want us all to be that transparent. Because we need, in the family of God, to be able to trust each other and to know that when we hear each other speak, to the best of our knowledge and ability, we are being absolutely truthful to each other and certainly then to the rest of the world. God hates lying. He hates the whole principle of bearing false witness. When we knowingly or ignorantly say something about someone else that is not absolutely true to the best of our knowledge, we are promoting false witness. And God hates that. And we're breaking the ninth commandment. Very powerful reminder to me. Number two, the definition of a faithful witness. In Proverbs 14:5, a truthful witness does not deceive. A false witness pours out lies. It's repeated again in verse 25. A faithful witness does not deceive. Somebody who does not bear false witness has a focus in life that continually runs everything that we say through a grid that says, can I be sure that this is true? That this is not false? This is not harmful? And I think that's the definition of a faithful witness. Counterfeit God Satan has a focus in life to color the truth and make falseness look true, but make it look true enough that somebody will follow his falsehood. That's what he does. He's the master at it. He's the genius at it. And it's easy to slip into that mold. There's many a kid who develops a pattern early in life that isn't completely honest with mom and dad about where they were or what they did or why they're late getting home. And if that isn't corrected early in life and that multiplies, those are people that later on in life will be dishonest with their mate. And they'll color what they say. And they'll make up a story. And it might be pretty close to the truth, but it's not really accurate. And let me tell you, when that mate finds out eventually that that was not absolutely true, you've driven a nail in a fence, in a gate that you can pull out and get forgiven 29 times and it will still be there, because for the rest of the life, it won't be lack of forgiveness. It will be, can I be absolutely sure that my mate is telling me the truth? So it's so important to be a faithful witness, one who does not deceive ever to the best of our ability. Number three, the future of someone who tells lies, Proverbs 19:5, they won't go unpunished, and they'll get in trouble. And way too many people get away with lying, and we say, how can they get away with that? Well, they don't. Eventually it all comes back, if not in this life, at the end of their life. Let me tell you, there's nobody who finishes life on planet Earth, I don't care how many good things that can be said about them, if there's been deceit in their life, they go to their grave with some pain and heartache and face some judgment that nobody really wants to face. So the future of someone who lies is not a pretty picture. It doesn't mean that God doesn't forgive and give us a wonderful place in heaven, but it does mean that it sure messes up our usefulness and our joy in this life. There's always fallout from a false witness, Proverbs 19:28. A corrupt witness mocks at justice, and the mouth of the wicked gulps it down. Why do we have so many issues today in our country with our justice system? It's because there's a lot of lack of truth in our justice system. There is. We have humans who take into their hands decision-making and are not really in line with the truth of the Bible and the truth of just what humans are supposed to be like in the care of each other. And when that multiplies and goes on over time, the justice system becomes mockery. And we have a lot of that in our country right now. We're frustrated with it, and we're upset about it. And there's all kinds of ways that people are trying to make a statement to bring that to the surface. But let's go to the very basic. Until men and women in places of making decisions are honest and are not doing cover-up and are not bearing false witness and are eliminating lies and are walking in the truth, until that happens, we will have elements of mockery in our justice system, because that's the result of it. And so the fallout is mockery. And when you have a relationship between two people or more than two people, and there really isn't committed honesty, practiced integrity over time where that trust develops, then really a lot of what goes on in that relationship is mockery, because you're always playing games with each other to try to figure out what the other one really means by what they're saying or not saying. And it's not a wholesome relationship. So it comes all the way to where we live our individual lives. And then obviously the long-term result of ignoring this commandment, don't bear false witness, is Proverbs 21:28, a false witness will perish, and whoever listens to him will be destroyed forever. Somebody who insists that there's another way to get to heaven other than through the grace and finished work of Jesus, that person is a false witness, and they will perish. They'll spend them forever away from God in a place called hell. That's the ultimate example of a false witness. And if I, as a follower of Jesus, am guilty of misusing Scripture, if I'm guilty of not really being honest and above board, a man of integrity, I know I'll be in heaven, but my effectiveness will perish. Integrity, when our integrity is compromised, everything is affected. In our country today, and maybe in other parts of the world, you can be a pretty famous follower of Jesus, and you can mess up pretty majorly, financial, moral relationships, with getting involved with the wrong people. And it may not be long before a lot of people will just kind of overlook that, and you've confessed it and you've admitted that you're wrong, and you might even get reinstated back into your position of leadership. That's the result of a culture that doesn't really look very directly at sin and calling it sin. So our children and young people are growing up in a world where they're being taught by the example of many adults, you know, it's wrong to do certain things, say certain things, violate certain relationships. And if you get caught, it might be ugly for a while, but just hang in there. It'll probably kind of go away. And most people forget about it. It's a kind of a sloppy forgiveness. Forgiveness should be complete, but there should always be a personal journey of earning people's trust and growing back into a place where our integrity is intact. So our culture really isn't helping us very much in the department of honesty and integrity. It's not only making it easy for us to mess up, but it's making it easy for us to think that we really didn't do that much damage. I believe the Bible records will show us, and I believe records of life will show us, that when we violate our integrity, we never completely recover. There will always be scars. And I'm so grateful for the grace and the forgiveness of God, because we all need that so much. And He is so there to pour out His grace and forgive us and give us more opportunities. But we need to remember that the scars never completely go away. If I rip you off financially, 20 years from now, a faithful relationship financially with you, and I come to you with another financial opportunity, if you're completely honest with all your grace and forgiveness and perfection, you will have in the back of your mind, can I really completely trust it? It's just the way we're wired. We don't have memory lapse. Forgiveness isn't memory lapse. Forgiveness is not holding it against him anymore. When God forgives our sin and removes it to the furthest limits, he doesn't have memory lapse. He just doesn't hold it against us anymore. And in this area of bearing false witness and hurting each other with lack of truth, I think we need to remember that forgiveness is amazing and recovery is wonderful. But there will always be scars and hate. And we need to learn to use them for a good advantage. We need to learn them to remind us of where we were and where we are, and to enjoy the forgiveness and the growth and the hope that comes. But we also need to remember that they remind us that we're vulnerable and we can fail again. And that's one of the best ways I know to stay in line with all of the basic 10, to keep that in perspective. If you know Jesus as your Savior today, you have grown past the problem of counterfeit God Satan luring you into false information. You know truth. If Jesus is your Savior, you know that Jesus died for you, a sinner, and needed the Savior, and that you believed him, and you trusted that he's truly God, and that God sealed you in his family. You know that. That's amazing. That's beautiful truth and information. And it's eternal. Eternal position. If you don't know him as your Savior, if you haven't followed that path, if you think there might be another road that eventually leads to being with God, then you are following false information. And you will perish if you stay on that road. A false witness is a dangerous thing in any situation. No wonder commandment number 9 says, do not say something false. Focus on truth. Father, I want so much to be that person that focuses on truth continually, with all of the faults and failures and shortcomings that go with our being human. And I so thank you for your forgiveness and grace. I want to be that person. I want our church family to be that family. That anyone and everybody that knows us can say, you know, they're far from perfect, but there's one thing about them. You can count on their word. They're true to their word. And they're kind. They don't make up stories. They don't say things about people that are not true. They're persons of integrity. Make us a church of integrity. Thank you. You're the one that does that. We have the privilege of continuing to grow and learn on that road. Someday we won't even deal with this subject anymore because we'll be in your presence and there won't be the slightest thought of anything but truth. Thanks for being our Savior. In Jesus' name.